From Bravery Media, this is Appendix B. My name is Joel Goodman. With me is Kristen Van Dorn, and we're resuming after a four-part series on the brand equity pyramid. We are now moving on to other topics. So back to hot topics in higher ed, Kristen. The thing that has been coming up a ton in the last several months is budget compression, lack of budget for our friends at institutions all over the country, actually all over the world, because I hear this from higher ed friends in Canada and higher ed friends in the UK. It's just affecting the entire industry. I want to talk a little bit about how marketing offices can make the money that they do have, those minimal budgets, go farther.
Yeah, I think we saw the same kind of data emerge from that web trends survey we did back in January. People are saying that they're charged with doing more than less, that they're facing losing team members or major budget crunches. And I think now is absolutely the right time to talk about where this industry is at in terms of market spend. Because a few years ago, they were talking about how higher education was spending outrageous amounts of money on marketing. And I think we all know that that's not exactly the case for every institution, especially right now.
Yeah.
Especially as we've come out of this pandemic, we have FAFSA-related hiccups in terms of our enrollment management. Things are just a little bit different now than they were 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that that's really changed our financial planning for marketing.
I totally agree. And it feels a little bit whiplashy, right? Like, oh, it's like we have all this money and now we have no money and back and forth. And I think the common mantra, the common call to arms that we hear in higher ed is that we always need to be doing more with less. And you see it in articles on the Chronicle and Inside Higher Ed. You hear that from people all over LinkedIn. How do we do more with less? But I don't know that that is the question that we should be asking in this industry. And I say that because there is so much that we can do better with the money that we're spending on stuff, right? We don't have to do more with less. We just have to do better with less. And it's a question of quality for me. It's how do we make sure that the practices that we do have in place in our marketing offices and the actions that we are taking are performing at their peak before we start tossing some other half-filled, half-usable techniques and strategies on top of those?
You know, I think that also in higher education marketing, we are all a bunch of Jack and Jills of all trades, right? Mm. So everyone knows how to do a little bit of everything, but not quite to the quality and consistency where it makes an impact on the institution's enrollment or reach or audience building. It's just enough to say, yeah, I know a little bit about Google Analytics, or I know a little bit about email marketing, or I know just enough about social media marketing, or I know just enough about website optimization that I can kind of hold this together and do all the things. But I'm not sure that we're doing any one of those things really well.
And that's the problem, is that when we don't have focus and we are all generalists, those things that we should be doing well, that should be changing the game for us, that should be ensuring the longevity of our institutions, are things that don't get done properly. They get kind of used, but not used to their full extent. And so I think my thoughts here are like about things that we should be doing. Take the most expensive marketing piece that you have. And no, I'm not talking paid advertising because that might be the most expensive. But yeah, maybe paid advertising. How do you get your cost per lead down? I think a big way to do that is to offset where those conversions are coming from, where those leads are coming from. And so a big part of that is improving conversion metrics on your website. That comes with site speed optimization. That comes with fixing your UX. You don't have to completely redesign a website. You don't even necessarily have to rewrite a whole website. But what you do have to do is take a good hard look at how well your website is performing and figure out what areas are there for improvement. In my mind, that's the most cost-effective and most efficient way to spend money in order to get more leads and grow your enrollment.
Yeah. In terms of the things that you can do to be more effective, most of the time you need very specific feedback loops. You need to hear from applicants. You need to hear from prospective students that are not applying to your institution about what worked, what didn't. And some of that is confabulation. You know, if you ask, did you see that billboard on Route 95? I'm not sure everyone realizes if they did or if they didn't and what kind of impact it made in terms of reminding them. Is that a valid touch point? Is that not a valid touch point? Those are questions that are hard to get at. But with web optimization, we have tools that will tell us how well our web is performing without needing to invite a lot of stakeholders that may or may not give you accurate information about their decision-making process. It's the one thing that we can do absolutely without needing to bring in a bunch of other audiences that support or negate what it is that we're trying to be more effective at.
Second within this, I think improving your email marketing, it's a very easy thing to do in-house. And it's not even that you have to go in and completely optimize it and, you know, get all these data points from open rates and click-through rates and that sort of thing. The simplest way is to pare back and start with something that's basic, like get rid of your fancy designed stuff. We already have plenty of research that shows that plain text emails are going to get opened more often and engaged with more often than fancy HTML emails. So pare back and then see what it does and build from there. Don't go spend a bunch of money on a huge direct mail marketing campaign or a huge email marketing campaign when you can simplify what you already have in-house.
Yeah, I think that if you think about the life cycle of marketing to students, a lot of it starts earlier than we're accounting for. It's not starting at their senior year of high school. It's starting a couple years before that. People may be signing up to be on your email list. They may be interested in what you have to offer. They may be interested in your programmatic changes, or they may be a returning adult that's interested in how do I complete a degree? What are my options? I'm still working full time. Are there opportunities for me here? And that might be longer than a year-long process. So assuming that it is, the more sophisticated and minimal your email campaign is to them, the better off your audiences are going to be served, because you want to make sure that every email that hits their inbox from you is of importance and it provides clarity and it provides actionable steps and it provides that connection point that's going to matter and make your audiences feel heard.
Is your college or university website just not quite hitting the conversion goals you expect it to? And do you know how to fix it? Well, a benchmark report from Bravery Media can help. In 7 days or less, we run a performance audit on your website and give you a prioritized list of action items to improve site speed, accessibility, and conversion rates. Perfect for board presentations and budgeting reports, Benchmark is priced so that any institution can benefit from its insights. Visit bravery.co/benchmark to request yours. The next thing is something that I think we shouldn't do. I think that a lot of marketing offices, I think higher ed in general, is very eager to jump on new shiny things. And even though we constantly talk about in this industry about that proclivity to jump on new shiny things and talk about how terrible it is that we do it, something new comes along and we all jump on it. And marketing offices need to be wary of just throwing new tools at things and throwing new software at things when they don't already have a grasp on what's going on. So in this case, like, I don't know that the focus in most marketing offices should be trying to get more time back by outsourcing work to AI, outsourcing work to ChatGPT or other large language model software. Like, I think that there are things that can be useful for, but I think in most cases in higher ed, we're probably wasting more time trying to figure out how to do prompt engineering for something that is still not mature enough to make a real difference in the way that we go about work, rather than focusing on fixing the things that we do have in place and then finding smart ways to incorporate new technology. You know, this isn't me being a Luddite. This is like, I mean, we use AI every single day in our offices and in the work that we do, but we're not just using it to summarize content for blog posts and, you know, and we're always putting a human eye on it and a human editing process on top of it. In some cases it's quicker, in some cases it's not, but we already know our processes internally. Higher ed just is kind of grasping, I think, at the AI trend without really knowing how it's going to work and affect their day-to-day and their longer outlook on reaching students.
Yeah, I think that as helpful as an AI assistant can be in providing you with quick drafts of copy, what it can't do is give you insight, because the insight it's basing its intelligence on is all stuff that already exists. It's not something that you can mine from what is pre-existing on the internet. The quality is not there to the extent that it's going to provide something that is better than humans or that is equal to average humans. You know, I think one thing to keep in mind with AI is that not all the AI engineers in these proprietary companies understand exactly how their models are working. They're just trying to get their models out to market as quickly as possible, gather a lot of data, and see if they can retroactively figure out how their models are working. But so there's a lot of weird stuff out there right now. Like, I was listening to a podcast last week about how AI has already internalized winter break. It understands that we have a lot of holidays during that time. So it actually degrades the quality of the output that it gives you during the month of December, because it's basing that on the work output of lots of humans during the month of December when they might be taking time off or preparing to go shopping for holidays or something like that. So I think that we're still discovering how AI can be the most helpful and the most useful. What I don't think that it behooves us to do is jump immediately into, I have to master prompt engineering. I'm going to tell the AI that I am a Starfleet commander and I need it to get the top 10 things that higher education needs to do in marketing. I need to write that out now. Otherwise, the ship is going to go down, and hope that I have somehow spurred on my AI companion to treat this with more intensity and accuracy. Like, in short order, these AI models will understand us better, and we won't need to so closely prep it to respond to us in very specific ways in order for us to improve our output.
And I think part of that is, even right now, most of us that are just getting started with AI and large language models don't know how to prompt engineer. And so it's a lot of trial and error. So you could start something that you think is going to help you write a quick news story really fast, and it takes 2 hours because you're sitting there just trying to revise a command rather than just writing it, you know, or rather than taking the first draft and then editing it and putting your own voice on it. I think there's too much temptation to get distracted with new technologies that seem cool and that everyone is talking about how they're going to save us time and all that kind of stuff. You know, when you don't have budget, that also means you don't have time. You need to make sure that any time that you are spending is on stuff that is very useful, not hoping that you can pack more into it. Again, it's about raising the quality level of what we're doing with less money, rather than just raising the amount of output that we put out there. Appendix B is a production of Bravery Media. If you enjoy the show, please consider leaving a rating or review on your podcast streaming service of choice. It helps other higher ed pros find us. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.